Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
We're going to see the second part of how Jesus prayed. And now we're going to see Bible. I gave you a small way of how you pray. If you don't pray that way, and many times the Spirit of the Lord, I believe I'm going to see how the Lord groaned in prayer, but he didn't pray in tongues. And there's something there for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, our ushers. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Father, we thank you and we love you. Thank you for your truth and thank you for your word. Now we need of your direction for the teaching. You teach us. Glory to God. You teach us according to your word. Reveal to us, teach us, show us. And thank you that we have ears to hear and we receive from you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we're in a study series titled Teach Us How to Pray, based on Luke 11, verse 1. The Bible says that when the Lord was praying, after he finished praying, one of his disciples asked, Lord, teach us how to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples. Now, the first part of this series, or of our title, was, how did Jesus pray? So today we'll be seeing the second part. Now, before diving deeper into this, I'm just going to remind you that prayer for us under the New Testament is based on communion and fellowship, a relationship with God. Amen. Now let's see in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our God. You were called into the fellowship. That word fellowship is very interesting here, because it shows intimacy. Communion or fellowship indicates you will have the same vision that he has. Prayer is not based solely on asking things of God. If you came to the first two sessions, you realized that I touched on that subject. The average Christian, and this is to criticize, I don't want to sound critical or speaking ill will of our brothers in Christ. This is just true. The average Christian, when we come to the Lord, or at least I shared that in the churches where I come from, when they would mention prayer, quickly our mind was asking. Is it valid to ask for things? Yes, but it's a minimal part of prayer. Prayer was designed to have a relationship, a communion with the Lord. God the Creator wants to have a communion with every single one of us, a fellowship. And we've seen many verses on this, so I'm not going to touch on that because we already saw it. Now I'm going to focus on communion here. Now where did I tell you to go to? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship. You were called into fellowship. It was so clear for us. We were called into that. Someone just asked me the week ago, hey, Brother Hughes, so then what's the vision of the ministry? Well, go to our website and you'll see it there. But do you want me to tell you something? Every time you spend there, I'm not going to say that I'm going to change it, but I will tell you mine. You know what my vision is? To increase my relationship with God. It's to know Him even more. That's my vision. Know Him even more. Because if I know Him more, my faith will increase. Will go to another level. Fred Price told me in August of 2016 in Palo Verdes, California, at his home, Ignacio, son, a strong faith is born out of a strong relationship with God. So I asked him, "Sir, Dad, but does faith come from hearing the word of God? If I'm hearing the word, I'm receiving faith." Well, he said, "Exactly, but backwards. How? When you have a strong relationship with God, you'll want to go to church. You hear the word. You'll want to read your Bible. You'll want to pray. You'll want to give. You'll want to, because you have a relationship with God. That relationship pushes you, that communion with Him, that fellowship with Him." That completely changed my theology. I thought, why didn't I understand this better in 2001 when I started preaching? It took me to another level in my spiritual life. This was tremendous. Notice in 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. And this is what the Lord would do, which is why the Lord prayed. We're going to see that a bit more on the life of the prayer, of the life of the Lord in prayer. Now, 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 14, the last verse, last chapter. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Notice the language here. And the communion of the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit. Notice what it doesn't say. Notice how it doesn't say the communion with the Holy Spirit. Oh. Did you see it? It doesn't say with. So then is it wrong? No, not necessarily. But there's a reason. Read again, 1 Corinthians 1. We were called to have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father. So then what of the Holy Spirit? Because the Apostle Paul here, who wrote to the same church, Corinth, Church of Corinth, Greece, in the first letter, tells the brothers there in Corinth, you were called to the communion or the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But in the last letter, those same brothers in Christ, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Of. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the link. You cannot, you will not, or you will not be able to have a communion, a relationship, an intimacy with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus without the link of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that link for me to be able to reach one of the second or the third row. For me to reach you, I would have to use perhaps a rope. I could be here and you're over there and you're watching me, I'm watching you, but I can't reach you. That rope, as to say, or a bridge, another way of understanding it, it's the Holy Spirit. Communion is with the Father, is with the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the bridge. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Again, Philippians 2, 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Again, why did he say communion of, not with? Well, so you can understand. You know that the Bible when this was written, there was neither chapters or verses. It was a letter to the people in Philippi, to the Philippians of the brothers in Philippi, another place there in the area of Macedonia, again in Greece. Now let's read this again, going back a bit more, chapter 1. Verse 127. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversary, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You will suffer persecution, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Therefore, chapter 2 starts, if there is any consolation in Christ, again, what he's saying is that you will be able to support the persecutions, the contrary circumstances, due to that communion with God. But the Holy Spirit is the link. Do you see it? Now, for a moment, let's go to Matthew. Yeah, the Lord prayed. Matthew 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out of fear. Now, let me see it here. Now, I gave you a verse very quickly here. I want you to understand this. When you see the Lord Jesus here praying, you have to see the application of praying and the communion that he had with God the Father. The difference is that he was still living under the law. Amen. He did not pray another tongue. Do you think he didn't know it? Of course he knew it. But you and I do not have an excuse to not pray then. But the principle that I'm trying to teach you is that communion that he would seek. And here's my question for you. If the Lord Jesus prayed, and he prayed a lot, who do you think you are to not pray? Huh? Amen. One more time. If the Lord Jesus prayed, and he prayed by himself, he would make the time to pray in intimacy, to have intimacy with the Father. Who do you think then you are to not pray? It's not a scolding. It's a trying to make you see something. Trying to make you wake up to that reality. Amen. Why do you think then you don't have to pray? Now in chapter 14, let's start reading verse 21. Understand this a bit better. This is all based on, as we opened up our session, the communion with God. That same communion the Lord Jesus Christ had, and the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of you now. Amen. Matthew 14, verse 21. Now those immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, verse 22. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. By himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the walking of the sea. And when the disciples saw him, now 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. A great part of time had already passed of him just praying. Now, if you understand my ministry, you've heard me for many years. What I'm going to say, continuing, is not based on debaucherous debaucherous facts. This is based on love, on faith, on grace. When was the last time that you went through a big part of the night praying? And many, if you have done it, you did it because you could not sleep due to your issues. But the motive then is completely different. If you tell me, Brother Hughes, I prayed, but it was when I was going through this situation. Well, yeah. One more time. I'm not scolding you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just making you realize, when was the last time that you said, Father, help me, I want to spend time with you? And there are times at night it's best. Not all the time, but there are times. I'm not making a doctrine out of this as well, of always praying at night and don't sleep. Then when was the last time you purposefully, or the Spirit of the Lord told you, and you said, no, it's because I have many things to do tomorrow? Why? Because at night, for sure, you won't receive messages, you won't receive text messages, you won't receive groups and groups of messenger. I personally, please, have some mercy on me when I tell you this. I do not judge you, so don't judge me. Understand the context. I don't know how people can be in so many groups to the point where you don't feel like you're going crazy. I can't be in those things. Actually, you know what I do? First, I'm not in a single group. I'm not saying you shouldn't be. That's on you. I'm not. Second of all, when I have some time of not contacting them, I erase the number. Why have a number there just taking up memory? Why have the number of someone that you don't even have contact with? And then you realize people later changed their number. That number perhaps is not even theirs. Amen. I personally cannot be in those things. Too many distractions. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. They were scared. Now, it was the same boat, the same wind, but the disciples were scared, and the Lord was in faith. Why? He went to go pray by himself in the mountain. Prayer will not give you more faith. Prayer does not move your life of faith. Faith moves your life of prayer. But that faith will be strengthened in that time of intimacy with the Lord. The Lord will speak to you, will assure things to you, will remind you of words. Remember what we saw of John the Baptist? How John the Baptist was such a tremendous man. At the end of the day, he doubted if God was the Father or not, if Jesus was the Messiah. Now what we spoke on Sunday was very good, huh? Now remember, it's the first session. A foundation, new birth. But from there, I'll take you to true maturity. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. My God, if it is you, well. And he said, what else is he going to say? Notice that. If it is you, what's he going to say? No, it's not me, Peter. Don't come. Notice Peter's petition here. He said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you unto the water. We said, well, come, because it was him. And Peter answered him, and when Peter had come down of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, now don't criticize Peter, because at least he walked. When was the last time you walked on water? Thing is, he put his sight then. on the circumstances. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink, crying out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? But notice how the Lord then was praying. Luke 15. Communion with God. Prayer. Every time you pray in the Spirit. And in your time of prayer by yourself, have your Bible open. Have a journal with you. Have a journal. Have a pen so you can write down what the Lord tells you. And you write down the verses that He'll guide you to. Jesus. Now, of Jesus 15, Luke 15, verse 16. Luke 5, verse 16. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now notice in verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear. God forbid you see people like this. He wouldn't be able to deal with the fame, and the pride would get to their head. They spend time answering all the messages that people send them. And what would he do? So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now chapter 6, glory to God. Luke 6. Now of course, if I were to have to tell you that, why would I have to tell you where we're going? 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days he went out to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also called apostles. How did he choose then? When it was by day, he called on his disciples. How? God gave him direction during the night. I told you, if you dominate this, when we were praying a moment ago, 80-85% of your issues will leave you. The issues that you have are the ones that the Lord will cause on you that the devil will cause on you through people, but many issues will leave you because you will now hear from God. Amen. But you have to be willing. You know what Paul told Timothy? One of the things that he told him. Did you see the answer? What a stupid question. Forgive me for asking such a stupid question. Either question that I asked, you know what? Paul told Timothy, well, there's two letters. He told him a lot. Forgive me for such a stupid question on my behalf. One of the things that he said, I should clarify. One of the things that he said is fight the good fight of faith. You know where you're going to fight that good fight of faith? Here in your mind. This is where he will fight you. Where he'll tell you you're wasting time. You say it's best if you go to sleep. It's nighttime. You're tired. But if you dominate your flesh, one more time before continuing, how many of you understand that you shouldn't sleep or anything of the sort? No, I'm not saying that. But perhaps sometimes seek in certain occasions where you can. Above all, if the Lord told you and directs you. I don't know if that's happened to you. This sometimes happens to me as well. We're at 2 or 3 in the morning. Oh, open my eyes and it feels like I slept 10 hours. I'm not even tired. I feel completely rested. And then I learn to hear the Lord wants to tell me something. I go to my bathroom. Or I go to the living room. Now here's a question that the average Christians have. Brother Hughes, and what can I pray? I'll start answering with the Bible. Romans 8. Which is why it's so important. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you can't do it. But which is why it's so important. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That word pray could be that word. Now, if you speak English, if you understand the English, the English version translates it better from the Spanish version. Pray for as we ought. Groanings. And what? Well, we've already prayed that way before. But you know something that I'm very surprised of? No, I'm not scared. I'm very surprised. Surprised and a bit disappointed. You know what disappointed is? Disappointed and discouraged. It's where you expect to see a result of someone disappointed, but it doesn't happen. And I've been disappointed in these few years, especially people in our area of faith. I'm not talking about preachers, people who have been exposed to faith and praying in other spirits. That nowadays, in this modern time, it's rare for a Christian who prays this way. The only reason, and this isn't because they don't know it, it's because they don't yield. They don't yield. They don't give the time to do it. They don't seek the time. Come on Thursday, please. It'll help you. Because you don't seek the time. When was the last time that you groaned in the spirit where your chest hurt to the point where it feels like you were doing sit-ups and you cried, but it's not crying because you're lacking faith or because of the issues around you? In the same way. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. What's that weakness? For we do not know what we should pray or for we ought. But the Spirit himself, brothers and sisters, can I in love, just to express the astonishment that I have, a bit rough. How stupid can we be and continue breathing? Using the word stupid or dumb, how dumb can you be? Not in this moment, don't search it up right now. But according to the dictionary, it means, one of the definitions, is a person who lacks understanding. How lacking understanding can we be when we have the help, the ideal help, the perfect help, and we don't use it, and we let the devil fill us with issues, or we with self get into issues for not seeking and giving direction, not seeking the direction of the Lord and having intimacy with Him. And there are parents and people who are struggling in their businesses with their children. Their children are heathen. And they say, I don't understand why my son isn't interested in the things of God. It's because they were never born again and you haven't realized it. And the reason is because the Spirit of the Lord would have already told you. But you're listening. But you're not listening. Our issues of don't buy this. Don't spend more like this. Simple, simple things that the Holy Spirit, I can assure you, will speak to you. It's right here. Now don't go there, but remember in Genesis when the Lord spoke to Joseph and said, there are good times are coming and bad times. What did He do in the good times? He told Joseph, spend like a king? No. He said, take care. Start storing. There are millions of Christians today, the moment that I'm speaking, today, in the world of the word of faith, to say, that are in debt, full of debt. They don't sleep due to debt, because they didn't understand faith or prosperity as they should have. Because to understand faith, you need direction of the Lord. They sought pleasure in a new car and a new house, and of course God wants you to have that. I'm giving a study series on the internet. I'm working on it to make it into a book as well, called True Prosperity. And I start from the bottom. You listen to the first session, second session. My God, it should be all of you. None of you here with so much word that there is here. You wouldn't have a single issue. The only issue is because it's the devil provoking it through other people. That you could be in health. You don't know. Years ago, you go to the hospital. It's that you could go in to see how the hospitals are now. So of how long it is that you haven't been there. I'm not condemning if you've been to the hospital recently. It's not my purpose to make you feel bad. I have compassion because I've also been sick years ago. But I refuse now because I understand this. Because I've spent time with the Lord more than ever. And how I desire. Now, wouldn't you like sometimes to just go back in time? And I would have liked to have understood this 2001 when I started teaching this. When I started this church. So years ago when I was in Mesa, I would have liked to have understood this. My personal life, the life of my ministry would be so much better. Why isn't the times that Adam and Eve were here, there were no airplanes? There was the law of gravity, right? Yeah. Why were there no airplanes? Because what? Because exactly. No one had understood the law of gravity. But if they would have understood it, Adam and Eve would have been able to fly. Glory to God. If you seek the time, and if you truly believe in that relationship with God, your issues, not just your issues, the life of your children will be better, the life of your family will be better. I assure you, this will be a priority. I see people, when I travel to other cities and airports, good quantity of people, I see people to just have the opportunity to talk with someone. And there are people who are going or traveling, this person once told me, because from my job, they sent me to this other city and paid off everything. But I have to go and approve that course, because if not, they're going to let me go. And another person, something similar, but the company did not pay for the expenses. And since he had a good salary, well, he paid for his expenses and first class on the airplane. Because if not, he was going to be let go and have someone else. So he had to be qualified. You know what? He paid the ticket. When I travel, I have to pay the plane ticket. I have to pay the hotel. And I have to pay the rent of the car. And it's easy in a trip with the prices of today. What, $2,250, $2,500, or $3,000, like nothing. But these people pay even more, because they're going to spend more days, more time. This person told me this trip will be about $7,500. But why did he do it? Because it's convenient. There's something there. Well, if you believe this, you'd say, I need to spend more time in prayer and less time on Facebook and on my phone and on groups of this and groups of the other. This is priority. This is the plan of God, brothers and sisters. There's victory here. The average Christian think, Oh, they're in heaven. Let's see if I translate this correctly. Let's see if I can say this correctly. They're just saying in English. It's not very commonly used. I'm going to say it in English, then I'll translate it to Spanish. Because if I translate it exactly as English, the translation isn't best. But I'll give you the idea in English. It's not a pie in the sky, by and by, but a steak on the plate, or you ate. Let's see if I can make it understood in Spanish. It's not a pie in the sky, by and by, but a steak on the plate while you wait. That means this. It's not a future vision up there in heaven or up there in the sky. It's while you're waiting for that cake that's up there, there's a steak here waiting for you. While you're waiting over there in heaven, there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. God left us these things here. God left us the name of Jesus. God left us the communion of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit. He left us the name of Jesus. He left us the written word. Glory to God. You understand? For those who speak English, it's not a pie in the sky by and by, but a steak on the plate while you wait. It's a bit difficult to translate it literally. But that's the idea. Translating the idea. While the glorified body comes. While the presence of the Lord comes. While we wait for our departure to go to heaven. While those things come, which will happen and we believe and should wait for them and desire them. God left us authority here. He left this. Hallelujah. There's something big here in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How to pray? You start praying first in other tongues. You can start praying as you know. When the Lord wakes you up at night or you want to pray and you start seeking from the Lord, don't go with weird words or weird sayings or, oh, what I'm going to tell God. Take that all away. Throw it in the trash. And if you don't know what to start with in English or in Spanish, just say, Father, here I am to praise you. I will not ask anything of you in this moment. I just want to be here with you to tell you how much I love you and I thank you. Thank you because you love me. Start thanking him right there because of the house that you have. Because if you're at home or if you're in your bedroom or if you have heater, I'll thank you for the heater. And if you have air conditioning, thank you for the air conditioning. And thank you for this cup of coffee, Lord. Thank you because I can be here. If you're as Nubia, she gets into her bathroom and then turns on the heater. Amen. And that heater, like an oven, almost like hell there. But she's comfortable there. Oh, thank you, Father. Amen. And she thanks the Lord for her heater. Thanks the Lord. And start with those simple little things. And I can assure you, I can give you my word. How much time will pass where you'll start bubbling. Start bubbling up inside of you. And tongues start coming out and you start praying. And you'll combine the Holy Spirit. You know one of the ways that I prayed and you already saw. I don't seek what words to say. I pray in tongues and then I say the words. And then I pray in tongues again. And then I say words just a moment ago. Before starting the teaching. There will be times where the Spirit of God would come, but your mind comes in. That's why you have to have your Bible there. And perhaps the Lord can bring you to remembrance and say, Lord, I remember where it is. Help me to find it. Help me. Help me. I know that it's here in the Bible. And you'll seek it and believe me. The Lord will help you to find it and you'll write it down. Teach us to pray and say, Father, teach me to pray, please. Teach me how to understand the pastor. You know why I tell you this? I don't pray like this just to, Well, let's see. What am I going to do? I'm going to get onto the internet to see what's there. No, I never do that. You know what I do? I pray. Father, what do you want me to pray? And I start praying in tongues. Sometimes a couple minutes pass, half a day can pass. But I never get desperate. If I didn't hear in that moment, I know what I'm going to do. Does not fail. Then the Lord tells me, speak of this. And every service that I'm going to teach, I don't just come lightly. I pray in every subject, which is why I teach by series, because I don't know what I'm going to speak sometimes. Sometimes Erica will ask me. She goes to my office or sends me a message, calls me. She's here in multimedia before the service starts and says, Pastor, what is today's subject? I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know when I'm going to talk. Yet. And before starting, there are times where I come here with the usher and say, oh, I'm going to talk about this. Or before coming out, I'll send her a message. I'm going to be speaking on this. That's it. That's how I pray. Glory to God. Not before leaving. It's in John of Lazarus. It's in John 8. Story of Lazarus. Thank you, Lord. For example, why am I going to speak of this? On this moment, the Lord told me. Not of Lazarus, of when Jesus said he prayed. Glory to God. John 11. This is related with Romans 26, only that he didn't speak in the spirit here, but he groaned. John 11. The Lord Jesus here said that Lazarus was going to die, beginning of 11. I'm going to read verse 28. And when he said this, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out following her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down on his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, when saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, they were weeping as well. And I'll explain this. Here it comes. Verse 33. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I've heard preachers say this. God bless them. But it's very wrongfully applied the way that they say. There's no wrong in crying when you're sad. Jesus also cried. Have you heard that? You'll even send them an offering very quickly. Why? Because it's convenient. Those types of messages are convenient. Because that's how you say, it's fine if I cry when I feel sad. That the application is wrong. Because here I told you there are moments in crying, but you won't cry out of sorrow. You won't cry out of anger towards someone. It's provoked from the spirit. There's an anger, but not against people. Against the devil, against the perverse work of the devil. It's provoked by the Spirit. Has to do with Romans 8:26. And the Spirit knew what to do. The Lord knew what to do. And the gifts of performing miracles manifested where Lazarus resurrected from the dead. There was direction. And in the spiritual world, glory to God, this is so good. Actually, don't lose your spot there in John. Go back to Romans 8. No, this is so good. Romans 8, verse 26. If you're a study of the word and you like this, you'll say what, as I say with the word. This is word and the rest is religion. Let's read verse 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts, you know He who searches the hearts? God the Father. Knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I want you, well, if I say I want you, it sounds very demanding. But if you like these things, the study of the word, just so you can write this down, if you like it, see that word intercession. This word intercession means this. In the Greek, it's a word that literally, I'll translate it this way, grabs hold of you. That word intercession grabs hold together or grabs together with against something. Again, to grab hold together with you in this case, together with you against something. It's a word that if I were to tell you in the Greek, you'll think that I'm cursing at you in Spanish of how long it is, because it's a conjoined word. One more time, what does it mean? Intercession means grabbing hold together with you against something, in this case, against the works of the devil, against the demons. I'll give you an example here. Here in the New Testament. Colossians. Can you imagine if this was spoken more in the body of Christ? What a powerful army we would make here on earth. Colossians. And this is one of the things that Paul told, that, and I'll be sharing with you on Thursday, one of the things that I prayed, but one of the things that I saw. Epaphras, if you're going to have a kid, you can name him that. You can name him that. No, I'm kidding. Epaphras was here, the pastor here. So in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras was one of you, a bondservant of Christ. Greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. I want you to listen to this for me. I want you to watch this. Fervently for you. Just in the Greek, what does it sound like to you? What it sounds like to you. In the Greek, it's agonisome, to agonize. But it's speaking of the Spirit. There's fight there. There's a struggle. Not to see if you're going to win, but there's a struggle from your position of victory. To fight against the devil, what's already yours in Christ. Always praying fervently for you in prayer. that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. Now, some of you, I know you're thinking, oh, but what am I going to do, Brother Hughes? Well, first of all, let go of your phone. Turn it off. I don't know about yours, but mine has a button that says on and off. And then start praying as I told you a moment ago. Start thanking the Lord. And slowly it'll come if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. You'll be able to achieve this of Romans 26. What we read of the Lord Jesus in John and Colossians 4. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. This cannot be achieved just praying in your language. It can't be achieved that way. Now you'll hear cheap prayers on the internet saying, well, God knows what you wants you to say. You don't need tongues. It's convenient. It's convenient for the devil to say that through his preachers that you don't reach the most maximum thing. But it's all a lie. If you just pray in the understanding, you're very limited. It's part of praying in the understanding. But there's nothing more powerful than praying in the understanding, meaning in your language. But where those words were inspired by the Holy Spirit when you're praying in other tongues. Because the devil doesn't understand tongues. But there is a struggle in the spiritual world, as we just saw. The Holy Spirit knows exactly. Again, go back to Romans 8 and read it one more time. Well, if you were to be watching a soap opera or a movie, have your eye all open. Especially if you went to the cinema or to the theater. Oh no, you're not gonna go to sleep in the movie theater. Cost me money. You'd even stick some scotch tape here on your eyes to keep them open. Stick some toothpicks between your eyelids. Thank you. I don't know what that is, but I hope it's a good study series. Well, there's a reason why you struggle the way you do in life. Nowadays, everything that's there is trash, and that's all television sells. Nowadays, they have to sell bad words. Even women have to sound so vulgar. You don't know who talks worse, the men or the women nowadays. With the cursing that they say. And the whole world now, it doesn't matter if it's summertime, they're always hot because they're always stripping. Always stripping just for any little thing. You don't even know what to see anymore. And that's what sells. And Christians pay money a month for months and for a subscription and put all of the sewage of the world and still pay for it. But if someone were to speak of prosperity or of money in a church with the correct heart, they're criticizing us. Do you think that's going to stop me? Do you know what I'm going to do now? What I'm going to do when they criticize me, I'm going to grab that name and preach specifically to that person. I'm going to say, this person says this. I'm going to give them a Bible and I'm going to share this. The devil doesn't intimidate me. 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. There's a struggle in the spiritual world. But you're groaning in the Spirit. Your stomach hurts. It feels as if you're doing sit-ups. Your back hurts. Because your body, it's your body that's reacting because it's something spiritual. But there's nothing else. It has to manifest through your body. You end up with your jaw completely tired. Can't even feel it. Feels as if you just got out of a fight, and that's kind of what happened in the spirit. And I know when I've reached it, you know how? Because one of the things that that you start praying and praying. And when do you stop? You know when. But one of the things, one of the easiest ways to know is you start singing now in the spirit. There's a note of victory. You start singing in the spirit. What intensity, where it starts dropping, you start now praying in the spirit. I don't know what happened, but there was victory. That's all I know. Well, the sad thing about this, the disappointing thing, is that in our area of faith, if I were to go to churches of our area, and you make a search, and Christians are honest, no matter how big the church is, the minority, those who do practice, well, I don't experience it. Well, of course not. Looking at those TV series, look, how about this study series, what I'm teaching here? What I'm referring to is you mentioned any artist here in Mexico or the US of those celebrities. I don't know who they are because I don't follow anyone. I don't know who they are. Pastor Hughes, in what world do you live in? In mine. How nice it is. Amen. Glory to God. Another one told me, that man is dreaming. I said, don't wake me up then. Because this is very good. Hallelujah. Amen. The only thing is, if any of you struggle, it's because you don't believe. Pastor Hughes, what happens to me? Give me some advice of 2 hours, and I'm not going to pay you. Well, I'll tell you right now, you don't believe. That's it. Simple as that. You don't believe. Nothing can happen until you believe it. Can you see it? The Lord prayed a lot, and we're going to be seeing it in the next part of it. How the Lord prayed. You see what happened there in John, and how the Lord prayed. One of the things that I have many years and being directed by the Spirit, the Lord told me years ago. And He took me to the Word. He first gave me the instruction. He took me here to the Word, He said. Give the opportunity to the people for them to sow in the Word that they heard. And He took me here to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Verse 6, 7, and 8. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. You know the context of why Paul spoke this? Well, it turns out Paul took to the churches in Galatians a message of grace and faith, of freedom. But when he went back to those churches, these people had gone back to religion. And teachers had reached there of religion to preach them the contrary of what Paul taught them. And still, they would give them offerings. And you know what you do when you give offering to a religious church? You're going to perpetuate and cause that church to continue. And for those two fraudulent preachers to continue, and those supposed prophets and apostles that there is in social media to continue on with their false teachings when you give them money. Well, Paul here, As you've read here in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, gave them some almost cursings. They weren't almost bad words, but he spoke very harshly to them. Which is why he was telling them, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. He was saying, those who teach you the word, you should sow in them and give in them. Well, when I teach it, I'm not saying it so people give it to me. People bless me, that, and people sow in me, and that's fine. People have given me offerings, have given me gifts, and I don't ask for it. But some of them have told me, it's because you feed us, let us now feed you and sow in you. Well, I let myself be loved. But when the Lord spoke this to me, it was for the church or for the ministry or for the Word of Faith ministries. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. When you sow in the word that you heard with faith, eternal life will come from the revelation that there is in the word. There will be greater understanding of how to apply it in your personal life. Think about it. How many of you already downloaded the series in our app, Don't Join With Fools, They Will Ruin Your Faith? It's 30 hours of free study in audio format. If you don't take advantage of it, it's because you're dumb. It's free there for you and in audio format. Then soon, a series that I also studied for radio. Those seven sessions will help you. Now let me give you some of the countries that we reach by the grace of God. India, Argelia, Venezuela, Peru, Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, Ecuador, Brazil, Mexico, Serbia, Canada, Chile, Morocco, Spain, Pakistan, Uruguay, Paraguay, China. A person in China, glory to God. We already reached it. They weren't letting us in. No, seriously, they weren't letting us in. Venezuela, where they mostly hear us in, is in Venezuela. Bangladesh, Canada, Nicaragua, Honduras, the Philippines, Indonesia, Laos, Nepal. Both these are in English. Japan, Honduras, El Salvador, Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Brazil, Peru, Argentina, Bolivia, many countries in Europe, Asia as well. I listen to this in English. Root of all evil is the love of money. More than 6,000 people have seen it just on YouTube. In English, more than 8,000 people. That's just a session on one. And that's where your money is going to. You shouldn't lack anything. Just be saying, oh, taxes are coming. Let's see how they're going to give me back. That's of poor, ignorant, unbelieving people. Don't be expecting something. Not saying that you don't receive what's of yours, but don't just be waiting on that year by year. Your life is going to be wasted there. Believe the Lord for something greater. Someone say amen. And thank you, Father. Did I encourage you? According to me, I encourage, but my wife says, well, glory to God. You're gonna starve if you live off of encouraging. Well, that's how my pastor in heaven would encourage me with the word. He challenged me to believe the Lord. When he said, not a single headache you have to deal with. I said, holy Father. Because sometimes I sometimes have headaches. The other day I had a headache, but I've never been discouraged. Not a single headache. But you know what? My respiratory system was very weak. Not a single cold in these few years. Amen. I don't know when the last time it is that I went to the doctor. I forget how the appointments are. I sometimes go just have a general checkup. Perhaps this year I need to have one. But just to give testimony. Because if I tell you that way that I'm healed, perhaps you won't believe me. But I said, I have a whole report here of how healed I am of my organs. Then perhaps you'll believe me. Be thankful with the Lord, the word works. If someone likes the word, if someone is going to put the word first, it's going to be Brother Hughes. Always glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go because I want to go to sleep. You wake up early? I wake up early. Some of you wake up a little too early. There are others who wake up early around 11, but I wake up early. Before praying for you, as you stand on your feet.
This sounds like a joke, but you remember Robert Novia? He went to church with us in the Phoenix area, and he wanted to date the daughter of one of the directors in that church. But the father of this young lady didn't like him. He didn't work. He was kind of a lonely boy. And he said, "Brother, he was talk with the girl's dad so I can date her." I told him, "Well, it's because you don't work. Help me get a job, brother." And I said, "Hey, brother, this boy wants to date your daughter." And he says, "No, he doesn't work. He's a lazy bones." And he said, no. "I already told Brother Hughes that as soon as I get up around 11, I'm going to go look for a job. Tomorrow when I get up around 11. And I said, "Man, forget it. Never mind. Tomorrow when I wake up around 11. Can you imagine? Some. Not you guys. I mean other people. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks. And we bless you with your word. And with the anointing that is in us. Thank you. We receive it. Thank you for helping us pray. Thank you for helping us understand the word. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings the conviction.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, "Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God." So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, "Oh, I don't have," or "I can't." That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, "Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow." Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.